The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Hope you had a great weekend. I know, you've been wondering who I'm voting for. Well, I already told you that. That information is out there now. So that's on my Facebook page, both my personal page and the radio show page. So if you're looking for some direction here in the Wake County area and statewide races across North Carolina, I've got that information out there. Also, you can go to the website, thestevenobleshow.com. We're going to have that up there today so you can download it as a PDF and share that around. And take it or leave it. And you'll notice that on these lists, I've got some people that are highlighted in yellow. Those are people that I actually know personally. So those are personal endorsements versus just me gathering information about everybody else. But if you're looking for a little help, you got that. So if you want to know what who I'm voting for, you can find that information out. If you want to know what I do every morning, and I'm thinking you probably do. Hey, Steve, how do you start your day? Well, that's a good question. Believe it or not, I actually start every day, except for Sunday, down by our fireplace. I get up before anybody else does. And I have a cup of coffee, and I've got a study Bible that my son gave me. This will be a year ago, Christmas, my oldest son, 27. And it's a study Bible that's all the notes are from church fathers between 400 and 600 A.D. So this is really an amazing study Bible, as you can see the consistency of our faith and doctrine over, well, really the last 1,500 years. And so I get there, and I'm reading through the New Testament this year and going through those study notes. And I also have a cup of coffee. Now, normally, I drown my coffee in a lot of cream because I very rarely find actual coffee that I like. I think we all do it because it's a cultural norm now. You know, if you're an educated, civilized person, you drink coffee. And I think a lot of us don't have very high standards when it comes to that. You just do it, right? So when my buddy Dave Jones said, hey, I want you to check out Christian Kitchen's coffee, you guys know me well enough. I'm such a skeptic. I was like, okay, fine. All right, get me some. I'll try it. And then I was shocked when I had my first sip. I'm like, this is really good coffee. This is not bitter. It tastes really good. It's very smooth. And then my father-in-law, who's 82, and even more of a skeptic than I am, without being prompted the other day, he tried some of it, and he's like, this is really good coffee. Like, where'd you get this coffee? And then I was able to tell him about Christian Kitchen's coffee. ChristianKitchensCoffee.com is the website, and we're excited to welcome Steve and Beth Agron to the show. They are on Zoom today, so if you're on Facebook or now on Rumble, we switched since we got dumped off of YouTube permanently because I talk about things that I guess I'm not supposed to. We're on Rumble, so you can find us at the Steve Noble Show over on Rumble, but on Facebook Live. But Steve and Beth, welcome to the show. How are you? Beautiful, sunny Sarasota.
Awesome. Thank you for having us. We are doing great. We're glad that father-in-law loved the coffee as much as you did. That's good news.
Yeah, which makes me look pretty good, actually. That helps, since I'm the one that agreed to have the Christian Kitchen's coffee show up. So the fact that he liked the coffee that his son-in-law got, I owe you guys one for that. So that's awesome. But let's kind of do a Genesis number on this. And how did this even – this hasn't been like your full-time thing for the majority of your adult life. So how did Christian Kitchen's coffee even get on the radar screen for you guys? Like, where did the idea come from?
Yeah. So about 10 years ago, the concept for Christian Kitchens was placed on my heart by the Holy Spirit. I through some studies that I had been involved in and so forth, I had really come to understand that one can only serve the kingdom well if one is both healthy spiritually and physically. And so, you know, this was sort of the impetus for this whole idea. And above all, Steve and I are really your brother and sister in Christ. That's at the heart of what we're doing. And we're focused on nurturing both body and spirit and bringing glory to God's name just in every way possible. Basically, the physical nourishment is coming through products in the kitchen, such as coffee. But spiritually, we're also aiming aiming to provide others with, you know, nourishment through being in God's word every day. So the idea is really to nourish every soul every day, primarily in the kitchen.
Yeah, and we'll talk about that because you've got a program that you're launching next month for coffee and Bible time, which is awesome. It's such a great idea, kind of a 5-day challenge, which we all need. But were you guys like foodies originally? Because, I mean, Christian Kitchen's coffee, we're talking about coffee today, but I know you want to expand into other products. And we all know, I mean, if you're going to pick one spot in your house, that's kind of the heart of your home and your family and where everybody gathers, it's the kitchen. So it's a great lead in there. But why start with coffee? Like, are you guys like coffee people, or why that one?
Yeah, actually, that's, you know, and you're not knowing us, you kind of hit it right on the head, because we used to meet for morning coffee almost every single day in the dating phase of our relationship.
We had a sign in our kitchen that said, yeah, good things happen over coffee.
Little did we know.
Little did you know, that's right.
Yeah. But I mean, I think that coffee is essentially, it's almost like a communal ritual.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you think of these coffee shops, it's almost like they're gathering places. It's places people are going to. They want to be there. And we think of coffee as this way that most Americans start their day. It's obviously, it's almost a ritual for many people. I mean, I've got stats, 55% of people pray daily in the morning. And, you know, of those, it's 79% of those, the evangelical Protestants, 65% of between 30 and 64 are praying each morning on a daily basis.
Yeah.
And so it's a big number, but it's not a huge number. I mean, when you think about that untapped, the complement of that number, I mean, we got to go after that population of folks, right? Because they're the folks we really want to have turn to the Lord. You know, but in our minds, it was almost like all these people start their day with coffee. There's 517 million cups of coffee consumed every single day.
Every day?
Every day. 65% of people are drinking 3.1 cups of coffee per day, and most of them start with one in the morning. So if that many people love coffee, we need to get that many people to love Jesus, right?
Right, exactly.
You know, so it's essentially, we've tried to bridge this this relationship between coffee and the Lord. And when you wake up in the morning, we like to call it brew, pour, pray, repeat. You know,
yeah, so that's a pretty good plan.
Yes, exactly. It's like the 4-step process of getting your day started and getting off on the right foot. And so that's essentially why we started with coffee. I mean, we feel like it's where most people start their day. We want more to start with Jesus. And if we can put that opportunity together, we're not really a coffee company. We're more or less a motivator for people to share their coffee time with Jesus.
Yeah, and meeting people where they're at and where most of us are in the morning is making a cup of coffee. It's just become a common cultural thing. I want to talk about the 5-day challenge. What else is Christian Kitchens going to get into? Christian Kitchens Coffee. com is the website. We're talking to Steve and Beth Agron. This is Steve Noble. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, here today for a little bit with Steve and Beth Agron. They're down in beautiful Sarasota in Florida. ChristianKitchensCoffee.com is their website. ChristianKitchens with an S, coffee.com. And just really trying to incorporate faith and how you start your day and in prayer and in walking with the Lord and getting in the Word. Was something that most of us do anyway. And Steve, you were sharing. What is it? Like 65% of people are doing coffee? I mean, and how many millions? 400 million cups a day? What is it? Some crazy number.
517 million cups of coffee a day. 3.1 per person.
Per person. Yeah. So we've got, and then of course we all know Starbucks. And so a lot of people, the one thing about Starbucks is their coffee is terrible. Yeah, it's bitter. It just doesn't taste good. And then you have small shops, local shops here and there, which I really appreciate. And every once in a while, Steve and Beth, you'll see one where they're owned by a Christian, and there might be a certain level of Christian communication. Sometimes it's subtle, just things on the wall. But for you guys with Christian Kitchens Coffee, I mean, it's really the epicenter of what you're doing, which is why, like, you have ethically sourced beans and all that kind of stuff. But it's the meeting place of where we're at already, which is coffee. And then with our faith and with proclaiming the name and the word of Jesus, which is just awesome. And what's the response been so far? Because it's nice to see some people, some believers that are in it for the kingdom and just meeting people where they're at, having a cup of coffee anyway.
Yeah. It's been fascinating because we've done some advertising on Facebook, which initially we were a little bit reluctant about doing. But we did, we took the plunge and, you know, there are some haters out there, I'll call them. Yeah. And some of the comments that we've received have been super negative, and the wonderful blessing in it is that other Christians have come and defended this
yeah.
concept of sharing the good news in the world, and put, are having scripture on the bags of coffee. And, you know, we've gotten this overwhelming swell of support from other Christians on Facebook who are saying, like, double thumbs up Christian Kitchen.
Right.
And, you know, this kind of thing, where they've been very supportive.
Well, is it just like some angry non-believers that have a problem with what you're doing? Is that just, I mean, I would expect that kind of blowback, but like I'm drinking Truth Coffee right now. And on the bag, it's a gourmet roast. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God, my savior, and my hope is in you all day long. Of course, Psalm 25:5. And I'm, when you said that before, like there's negative reaction on Facebook, I'm like, okay, unbelievers are going to get offended by it because it represents God and they just don't like him. But, isn't it odd? I mean, it doesn't make any sense to me that people would have a problem with that.
It is odd. I mean, I also think too, it's a misunderstanding, which is the basis of so much in this world, in this country.
Great point.
You know, they don't see where we're truly coming from, but we know, and we go to bed each night because the Lord sees our heart. He sees what we're doing. And that's ultimately what we're being judged upon. Someone's comment on one of these social media platforms really doesn't make a difference. All we worry about is how it might influence or impact someone else's eyes when they go to read it. Because we don't want this to be anything other than motivation to be in the Word and
right.
to be a good, solid Christian, period, you know? And so, you know, I think, where are they coming from? The fact is they don't know where they're coming from, mm-hmm. which is why they make these comments, right? And but we, you know, you pray for them because
sure.
they have a misunderstanding. And we have an opportunity to go out and not necessarily set them straight, but to, Beth is great at this because I'm not so good. What's the oven?
You're more like me.
Very good. Yeah.
Steve. The Steves have an issue usually, but.
Yeah, well, that's what it is.
Well, I mean, I think on social media, it's fine when people self-identify as angry or hurt or bitter or whatever the case may be. And then we know what the scripture tells us to do, to return good for evil. And so that's a good opportunity when that happens. And it's incumbent upon us. That's the deal when you go social media, when you go public with things like this. There is an opportunity to engage the darkness, but also you get a lot of encouragement from fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, which is an awesome thing. That's a currency awesome. We don't trade in much. Tell me about the 5-day challenge, because this is coming up next month, which I'm excited about, and everybody should get involved with this. By the way, just as a reminder, everybody, we're talking to Steve and Beth Agrin. You can find out, and we'll talk about real quickly all the different brands that you have, all the different types of coffee you have. I've got Truth in my cup right now. I had Faith in my stomach this morning. Joy, I think, at this point is my favorite. I still have to try the Courage. But we'll talk about that, too. But talk about the 5-day challenge, the website, everybody, ChristianKitchensCoffee.com, ChristianKitchensCoffee.com, the 5-day challenge.
All right. So we're actually getting ready to launch the 5-day challenge next month. It was created basically to help individuals who are seeking the Lord have a specific way to connect with him in the morning, we hope, for 5 consecutive days. Basically, what we're trying to do is enable them to start a habit of being with our Savior every single morning. So, you know, it takes more than 5 days, but we think 5 days is a good, generous start.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you're familiar, Steve, with the concept of habit stacking, but this was started by an author by the name of S.J. Scott. And his idea in habit stacking is that, you know, if you add a new behavior to your daily routine, you know, in your schedule, and you stack it on top of with another habit, you know, you're getting that benefit of something that you're doing naturally already. And then you put something else with it, you're more inclined with that trigger to continue that new habit. So basically what, you know, like we were talking about before, we get up in the morning, we brew a pot of coffee. And so the impetus here is to stack the habit of either praying or spending time in our Bibles or with a devotional where we have a chance to connect with Christ and get our day centered in the right way. And so basically we feel like this will help an individual improve their focus on Christ and then be equipped to serve others better. That's really what the intention is, because if we center ourselves in the right place at the start of the day,
right.
You know, and if we're already brewing that pot of coffee while we're waiting for it to drip, then we've got a chance to, you know, just really get ourselves in the right place to start our day.
And yeah, so, we're all doing that anyway, right? We're all having your coffee set, or you come downstairs and you do it. It's just part of your regular routine.
And to be
a bundled package, right?
Right.
I'm trying to piggyback on that. And so what happens with a 5-day challenge is that one will receive one of our devotionals, which we partnered with a company called The Family Wins for using a wonderful devotional that they produced. And so when you sign up to be part of the 5-day challenge, you will receive that devotional. You'll also get 5 samples of Christian Kitchen's coffee so that you can brew that 2 ounces and make yourself a cup, you know, eight cup pot of coffee and get a sample of the Christian Kitchen coffee, and also have that opportunity to start on a daily basis with your devotional. So we're trying to pair those up, and we're super excited about it. We think that all of your listeners, you know, should jump in on this opportunity to join us for this challenge.
Well, and again, like I said earlier, and we're talking to Steve and Beth Agron from ChristianKitchensCoffee.com. Like I said earlier, I was pleasantly surprised to actually have a cup of coffee that I thought was genuinely good. Usually, that's why I put so much cream in it, because I'm like, this stuff tastes terrible on its own. But this is great. I especially love Joy, but right now in the studio, I'm drinking Faith. Drinking Truth in the studio. I had Faith this morning. Is the 5-day challenge, is that available to sign up right now? Because you get the sample, and then you get the devotional as well. Is that available on the website yet?
Not yet. It's coming next month.
Okay,
your listeners are the first to know.
All right, so make sure, let me know when you're officially going to launch that, and then I'll have you back on for a segment, and then we'll make sure we're ready to sign people up. We'll do another segment and have you guys back on. I would love to do that.
That sounds fun. All right. Thank you.
Awesome. You're welcome. Thanks for being on today. This is Steve Noble. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Great to be with you. We have been talking a lot of politics for the last couple of months. That's increasing. We're going to continue to do that. Just so you know, between now and November 8th, just about every day, we're going to have some political guests calling in, people running for office, and everybody calling in are people that are on my list already. I put out that list on Facebook. You can get it if you just email me, steve@thestevenobleshow.com. I'll be happy to send you my list. And then I've got certain names on there that I've highlighted. These are people that I've had a chance to meet. Those are personal endorsements versus just picks. When I have picks, I've gone with the best information I can find and share that information out there. But if I actually have met this person, several of them have been on the show, so I get to know them a little more personally. That makes a bigger impact on me personally when it comes to voting time. And so you'll see names on there that are highlighted. One of those names in the U.S. House races here in North Carolina is Courtney Giel. She's running in the Congressional District 4, which is just to my west from here in Raleigh, North Carolina. And it's so wonderful to have people, sisters in Christ out there fighting the good fight of faith and getting on the street and out there just working as hard as you are. Courtney, welcome back to the show. How are you?
Hi, Steve. I'm great. How are you?
Good. So you're out at the polls, obviously, and that what's this experience? Let me just ask you real quick, Courtney. So, this is the first time you've run for an office like this. It's a big deal running for a congressional office. You're out there at the polls. What are you running into with the people that you're meeting there?
Well, I'm working a lot in the Durham area in the polls, which I'm running as a Republican, and it's a heavily Democrat district. But I find that I've actually made a lot of friends with the poll workers working for the Democrat candidates and party. And a lot of people just say I'm really brave, and they appreciate that I'm out there. And so that's a lot of the feedback as far as from the workers. But people are really interested in knowing who the candidates are. Most people will take the literature, and I just hope they consider me when they go in to vote.
Yeah, and so what are some of the topics that you've run into as you've been out there working neighborhoods and knocking on doors and doing all the work that you have for the past couple of months? What's been most important to the people in the Congressional District 4? Again, this is just west of the Raleigh area, and Durham is where Courtney is today.
Well, I think heavy on everybody's mind, bipartisan, is always the economy. We all see the gas prices are high. They see that it's kind of fluctuating back up. They see that Joe Biden has not followed through with the things that he promised. But as far as the other side of kind of pushback that I get a lot of questions on abortion, a lot of questions on the election integrity movement, January 6th. And it's really frustrating because I had a question one time recently and somebody said, What's the number one thing on people's mind? And I kind of joke, but I'm very serious. It's like whatever the news is telling them to concentrate on. And I find that the news is focusing on abortion and January 6th, and that's kind of what the voters are getting back and asking me about.
Yeah, because we know one thing that the Democrat Party definitely does not want to talk about, and that's the state of the economy. We can talk about the economy in general. You can talk about what's going on. A story just came out today. Federal deficits topping $1.4 trillion in the fiscal year 2022, which is 50% above their pre-COVID level. So it's just the economy is just a train wreck. The other stuff is really just kind of a diversion. And so from an economic standpoint, Courtney, with your campaign out there dealing with Congress, and this is, again, and it's Congressional District 4 in North Carolina. What are some of the main issues you would want to deal with in Congress when it comes to the economy?
Well, I definitely want to prioritize the federal budget. We need to make sure there's been a lot of talk of a constitutional amendment. We definitely need to cap the debt ceiling so that we're not continuing this inflation process. The people that are really being harmed are people at fixed income, specifically seniors. Also lower income, middle class. Middle class is becoming lower income because they can't keep up with the economy. And so I want to just make sure that we're not causing more inflation, because I've talked to many people that have lived longer than me. I'm 32. And they'll say, you know, when there's inflation, the prices never really come back down. Gas prices might come back down, but us paying $13 at Chick-fil-A is never going to change. So people who are on fixed income are the people who are going to be harmed the worst with this inflation rate.
Yeah, and I think people are paying attention to the news. I mean, if you're getting past the headlines, the average American family this year is spending about $6,000 extra just to live the normal life they were living in 2021. And you get into middle income and lower income people, Courtney, they literally can't afford that. Credit card debt is skyrocketing. It is far worse, of course, than the mainstream media wants to admit. Certainly the Biden administration doesn't want to admit it. But I think the people on the street, and I think that's what you were saying, they know that it's bad, don't they?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I have a number of Democrat people who are would be my future constituents who are actually helping me at the polls.
Wow.
They're seeing the problems. They see that I'm a normal person. I'm not a career politician, and they want to see somebody who's willing to advocate for them, and they can reach them, and they can talk to them, and they trust me, and they see that I really want to help solve their problems.
Yeah, because I think the non-career politician, outsider, quote-unquote normal person, there's a lot more people like that running, not only in where you're running, Courtney, in Congressional District 4 here in North Carolina, but across the state and across the country, and we've seen that in school board races too. There's a whole kind of army of quote-unquote normal people, regular people, that just had enough and have stepped up to the plate. And has it relative to what you expected it to be like? I mean, you went through the primary season, you won that, and then you're here in the general. But what's it been like just in terms of your expectations versus reality of running for office?
I think my expectations were that the party would have helped me more. Locally,
yeah,
the party's helping me, but anyone I say outside of my district looks at this district as a D+16. They think it's unwinnable for a Republican. I disagree with them. I've been working this district for a year now, and I see the movement and I see the potential, but it's been really disappointing to see that no one in D.C., no one at the state level has any interest in this district. And so it's really, if I win, I'm just tied to my constituents and I can really advocate for them and not be tied to anybody else.
Yeah, it's ridiculous that they don't think that's a fight worth fighting. I don't think there's a district in the country that we shouldn't be fighting for, especially when you have regular folks out there that are suffering as deeply as they are. We should be engaged in every single district out there. I cannot stand that approach from the Republican Party when you get to the state level or the federal level. It's just ridiculous. They're just giving away ground, which is pathetic. Have there been any, Courtney, in your engagement with people there in District 4, have there been any subjects or any topics that came up that a lot of people on the street are talking about, but the media is kind of avoiding?
I think medical care is something people really like to talk about, just because I'm a nurse, and so they talk about it a lot. I mean, we hear people talk about affordable health care. They're like buzzwords, but I've gotten to really get into the weeds with people related to pharmaceuticals, related to we have rural health groups in North Carolina that really serve the lower income population and really give access to health care, and they do a great job fiscally responsibly. And I think I've really gotten to talk to the voters about opportunity that we can do to still increase quality care, but also increase access and not break the bank over it. So that's something that I've gotten to have a lot of conversation with people.
Yeah, and you don't see a lot of that in the mainstream media on either side talking about the healthcare situations. Looking back, since you were a nurse, looking back on COVID just for a second, what do you think are some of the biggest lessons we should learn as a nation and in terms of when you get into Congress, in terms of government power relative to something like COVID?
Well, I would say I don't really trust the government, and most people don't at this point. We saw a lot of lack of truth. I tell people a lot, if the federal government wanted to solve a problem, they would have had fit testing for N95 masks from the very beginning. But guess what? We didn't have supply and demand because we were getting everything from China. But even once we got that the N95 masks in the hospital, I never once saw a fit testing center for the average person where they could go and have an actual fit N95 that would prevent them from getting COVID. And so I just say we need to decrease the power of the federal government, give more power to the states and to the people, and let them solve their problems on their own, because the federal government's trying to create problems, not solve them.
Yeah, and I think that one's crossing party lines. People saw the overreach of government, and then now that we're getting more truth about what happened with COVID, hopefully more and more people are opening their eyes. How can people still – I know we're coming up on the last few days here. It's October 24th, and the election's November 8th. How can people be a part of your run for Congress, Courtney? How can we help you?
Thank you. Yeah, well, my website is Courtney Geels, G-E-E-L-S, for Congress.com. So they can go and just check me out if they're in my district. I would love to have your vote if you would like to volunteer. We're trying to staff every polling location, which would be historic if we're able to do that. We've done a pretty good job so far, and if anyone's willing to give us just 2 hours of their time to help, we've seen a 5% difference in the primary and the areas that we staff as far as percentage points of me winning, and it does make a difference to have somebody personally hand literature for Courtney Geels for Congress. That's the number one ask. If people can't do that and they'd like to donate, they can also do that at CourtneyGeelsForCongress.com. There's always more ads we can buy, and so every little dollar helps.
And I think that's one thing that a lot of people don't understand is the power of having individuals out there at a polling place, handing out your material, greeting people, because a lot of people show up. There's still a significant portion of the electorate that doesn't really know exactly who they're going to vote for, even when they show up. So it's super important. Have you been surprised by the impact of that, Courtney?
Oh, absolutely. I'll see, you know, in Durham, there's about three groups. There's the Democrat Party and two local PACs that pass out pretty much the same slate. But people still take my card. They look at it. They read it. And it actually gives them information on me as a candidate, not just names. And so I definitely see people reading. I see people considering. People will come out and say, I voted for you. We've had great feedback. And I think it does make a huge difference.
That's awesome. And so once again, share the website, and then we'll be sure to we're going to run a bunch of people back through the show on the 7th and the 8th, Courtney. So if you want to call in either one of those 2 days, just shoot me a text and let me know. We'd be happy to have you back on. But once again, how can people get involved with your campaign?
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me on. And people can go and sign up to volunteer or donate, or just check me out at CourtneyGeelsForCongress.com.
Yeah, that's Courtney Geels, G-E-E-L-S, for Congress.com. And for all of you listening in the Durham area, if you're a conservative, if you believe in truth, don't give up like the Republican Party has. You have to get out and you have to support people like Courtney, who are out there on the she's out there on the street working, not only for you and your district, but for the rest of us in this state and in this country. So make sure you support her. Courtney, thanks to you so much for calling in. God bless you. We'll talk to you soon.
God bless you. Thank you so much, Steve.
All right. Thanks so much. Bye-bye. You're welcome. That was Courtney Geels, CourtneyGeelsForCongress.com. It's G-E-E-L-S. When we come back, a little Money Monday update with our good friend David Fisher. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. I know you're thinking, hey, the recession, the stock market problems, it's all over. Hey, we had a great day on the market today, the last 5 days, up 1,300 points. So obviously, everything is fine. So I really don't know, you know, David, why you're calling in, because everything appears to be fine. Of course, we know that's ridiculous. So it's great to have you. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing good. I'm just calling in to work out our salvation with fear and trembling.
Yeah, well, we all better be thinking about that. But we'll talk about the market and everything going on. It remains quite interesting, to say the least. But as always, when we do our Money Monday updates with David, we start with a passage of Scripture, Philippians 2. What a great passage of Scripture this is. Let's start there, and then we'll move on.
Verse 12 and 13. And I don't know if you're, the person in the booth can adjust this, because I'm getting my voice back in my ear the program here. So it says this, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure." So obviously this passage doesn't talk about that you can lose your salvation if you don't work this out, because it's the Lord who's created salvation by his shedding his blood. and us accepting that and being born again. But what happens after that is we need to work out our life, our salvation, what he gave us, being formed into his image, being our character through challenges of life. That's the working out. So in other words, when the obstacle comes, we can say, you know, I don't want to embrace the Lord's presence. I don't want to embrace trials. The world says, take away all my problems and I'll have joy. Mm-hmm. The Lord says, I'm going to give you joy amongst your challenges and your problems,
right,
so that you are formed in my image and become more like me. Because otherwise, if we didn't need to become like him, we'd just go to heaven immediately as soon as we accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior. So this is a great passage, reminds us that everything can't be fixed in one day. Kind of like
that's
the market. It can't be fixed in one day either.
That's right. And again, working out your salvation with fear and trembling isn't, you're not working into your salvation. That's not what that's saying. It's your salvation, your transference into the kingdom becomes the seed. And out of that, like he said in Matthew, is that all these good works that he planned in advance for us to walk in them. That's what you're working out your salvation. Now that you're saved, what does that look like in your life? Well, those are the works and the things that you need to do. That's the working out of your salvation, kind of the natural extension of what happens. When you become a Christian, such a great passage. So thanks for that reminder, David. So back to the market. I mean, it's done really well since last week. And today, like I said, in the past 5 days, up a little over 1,300 points. That's 4.35%. It looks like, hey, we're in the clear. Let's break out the sunblock and just go enjoy ourselves. But perhaps that's not exactly what's happening.
No, there seems to be, Steve, a huge disconnect between the market, what it believes, and what the Fed is doing and going to continue to do. I mean, the market is saying that the Fed is going to pivot and stop raising rates, lower interest rates, and start another round of quantitative easing, which just means buying government debt and printing enormous amounts of money, injecting in the system. The market is likened under like a drug addict. It needs this injection to survive and, you know, to live, and that's the reality for it. It needs this life, and it can't imagine what it's like being independent of that.
Yeah.
The Fed has not even hinted recently. In fact, just the opposite. It's going to continue to raise rates. So the Fed hasn't hinted about slowing down or stopping rates, but the market sensed that last week. That's why the rally. So the Fed is in what I call a trilemma. It's attempting to balance three things: economic growth, tame inflation, while we're having still financial stability. It's impossible to get all three. The Fed is saying that they're going to sacrifice economic growth in order to tame inflation and maybe have some sort of financial stability eventually. But the market says we want all three. That's what we live in. But there's a huge disconnect between the fundamentals, which is earnings, and earnings are very poor right now, versus which drives the market up. When you have good earnings, the market goes up. So the market is believing we need another injection of a drug called the Fed buying debt. So that's just not going to happen. But that's why we have this big rally going on. It's not fundamentals. It will be short-lived. We need fundamentals.
Yeah, that's right. And I just saw this story just came out today. Federal deficit topped $1.4 trillion in fiscal 2022, which is nearly 50% above pre-COVID levels. So, I mean, it's just we're adding, I think the average is $120 billion per month. It's $100,000 every 4 seconds. I mean, it's unbelievable that information was released on Friday. But last week you mentioned something, David, about bank liquidity, meaning the banks not having enough cash on hand to cover their obligations. And even you start talking about, All right, where's all this money that we've been depositing in our banks? But Credit Suisse, which is an enormous player, I don't know, is it showing up in the news enough? But what's going on with Credit Suisse? Because this is obviously a major issue.
So it looks like something is really wrong in the financial system in Switzerland, and all roads point to Credit Suisse. The Swiss National Bank drew $11 billion this morning from the Federal Reserve. Last week, they drew $6.3 billion, and the week before, it drew $3.1 billion. So that's $20 billion. Put this into perspective. There's no central bank. Add them all together, they haven't drawn not even $1 billion in a week, let alone 3 weeks. So something's up with that. And we believe it's going to Credit Suisse, because Credit Suisse has been in a large number of scandals. They lost $5.6 billion in Greensill Capital, in Archipedicals Capital. We talked about it on your show about 6 months ago. They lost $5.5 billion there. There was a tax charge from the United States suing them for $2.5 billion. I can go on and on. Credit Suisse recently on Monday, last Monday, launched the selling of their U.S. asset management arm. It also went to the Middle East for sovereign money, Saudi Arabia, asking for inflection of money. Wow. They're putting their Latin American wealth business management for sale. They're also selling their trust business. They're doing a big fire sale. They must be in big trouble.
Yeah, that's what I just wrote down, garage sale. That's exactly what's going on here, and people have garage sale when they need to raise some money. How much could this actually affect us over here? I know a lot of us are going to sit there and go, well, Credit Suisse, that's Switzerland, that's not America. Does it really matter to us?
We live in a global society. Think 2008. Bear Stearns went down, Lehman Brothers went down. It affected not just the United States, the whole globe went into a recession. All markets came down. Let's compare Credit Suisse to Bear Stearns and Lehman Brothers. Bear Stearns was $18 billion. Lehman Brothers was $600 billion with 25,000 employees when they filed bankruptcy. Credit Suisse has $1.6 trillion, 2.5 times as much, with double the employees. They need another $9 billion. They have till October 27th to raise capital. They're selling tons of assets. So think with me, if they go under, nobody buys these assets to bail them out, we will have another 2008 or something similar to that, because they're the largest bank in Europe and we're all intertwined. If somebody bails them out, that doesn't mean that that bank or that entity is all out of the woods. They're just taking on all that liability at a discount.
Wow.
Just like Lehman Brothers took on Bear Stearns' problem, and it drove them under. So this is maybe why Avi Gilbert, I talked about last week, who wrote the article on October 6th, is your bank safe? There will be no more bank bailouts. We could actually be in this environment right now. I'm watching it. I don't want to be a chicken little, but this does not look too good.
Yeah, that doesn't look too good in the reverberations now. And thank you for reminding us, we live in a global society, and what happens in Switzerland does matter around the world, just like what happened here in 2008 sent shockwaves around the world. We have to remember that. We're not isolated anymore. This isn't 1760. We're not isolated from the rest of the world. We're all intertwined. Give us an update on gold and silver, because it's been an interesting year there as well.
So gold and silver is down. The dollar's up almost 17%. Gold should be down 25 to 35, maybe 40%. It's only down 9. That's the index. The physical market is up. What's in the news is Noel Rubini. Who is that? Well, he was employed by the International Monetary Fund. He was also employed at the Federal Reserve, also employed at the World Bank. His list of employment and his legacy and his rap sheet, pretty long. He was also under the Clinton administration, the Obama administration, worked at the Treasury. He said last week, I've never seen what's getting ready to happen. A decade of deflationary debt crisis is coming like never before. Investors need assets like gold. This is not a gold guy saying this. So look into gold, because the big money's saying it, and the people who are in the know in the financial field on the inside, the IMF, the Federal Reserve, and World Bank, those are the three biggest ones. You can't get any higher than that. He's saying there's a big financial problem coming, obviously, otherwise he wouldn't be recommending gold, since he likes stocks. And Peter Krause, he's the author of a lot of silver newsletters. He's saying we're going to look back at silver spot. In the 17, 18 level, we're at 19 right now, and he's going to say, that's extremely cheap, a bargain. So call my company, learn why you need to get some gold and silver. It might save you from a bail-in, inflation, big run-up in gold and silver you might have. Call us and learn about that.
Yeah, what's on the opposite end of your teeter-totter, because that's what we have to remember. Or when the financial winds are buffeting your sailboat, you've got that big sail up above with your stocks and mutual funds. What's underneath the hull that's keeping you from flipping over? That's what this is all about. How can people get more educated, David?
give us a call, 844-604-2575. 844-604-2575 or landmarkgold.com.
Awesome. Thank you, my friend. Always great to hear from you. Have a great week. We'll talk to you real soon. This is Steve Noble on The Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you real soon. And like my dad always used to say,
Another program powered by the Truth Network.